This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. Having observed the playing of thousands of musicians through teaching online with Learn Jazz Standards, I've found that there are, in general, three different kinds of jazz musicians, and I'm wondering which one of them you are. So today, on the podcast, we're going to talk about those three different kinds of jazz musicians, and we're going to dive deep into what the individual challenges that you may face as one of these jazz musicians, and how to get to the next level at every single step. All right, grab your favorite beverage, grab your favorite snack. Let's do this thing.
Welcome to the LJS Podcast, where you get weekly jazz tips, interviews, stories, and advice for becoming a better jazz musician. And now your host, he's a jazz musician, author, and entrepreneur, Brent Bartstra.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. We help musicians just like you learn how to play jazz, all while shortening the learning curve, no matter what instrument you play. Happy to have you back here on the show today. Now, if you are anyone really playing any instrument trying to play jazz, I can pretty much guarantee you that you fit into one of these three types of jazz musicians. And the three types of jazz musicians are based off of a hierarchy, I guess you could say. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there's anything wrong with being at one of the different stages, as we'll call them, you know, one of the types of jazz musicians. It just means that there is one that obviously everybody would prefer to get to. And so the question becomes, how do we get to that particular type of jazz musician that we're all seeking after? So let's not waste any more time and just start going right into it. So the first kind of jazz musician is the jazz beginner, okay? Number one is the jazz beginner. So the jazz beginner is a musician who, and notice I said musician because that means you already actually play an instrument, right? So you already know how to play an instrument, right? You probably have some experience playing other styles, but you are new to the genre of jazz, or at least you're trying to get into playing it, right? Perhaps you're not new as in you've never listened to it before, but you're new to getting into playing the genre of jazz, okay? And so obviously, I deal with a lot of people like this. There's a lot of people that come into our Inner Circle community who have aspirations to play jazz, but they may come from a classical background, or they may come from a rock background, or maybe they're, you know, just kind of fresh off of getting the basics of their instrument down, but their favorite style of music is jazz, and they want to jump into that, right? They want to start actually learning how to play that style of music because that's what excites them the very most, okay? And the beginner jazz musician has some serious problems, right? They're not problems that can't be solved, but they are serious problems. So the first problem that they have is they're usually very overwhelmed, right? In my experience, super overwhelmed. And that's because from their perspective, it seems as if there is a lot that they do not know that they need to start figuring out. And it seems, at least from their perspective, that some of the things that they need to know how to do are difficult to do. So, for example, they may have zero idea of how to learn a jazz standard, right? Or even what jazz standards to learn, right? So that's one topic that they're confused about. The next one is improvisation. Like, how do I even go about improvising a solo? They're not even thinking about over top of a specific song necessarily yet. They just have no idea. Like, how do you know what notes to play over different chords, or what are some of the concepts or strategies or, you know, elements of playing a bebop solo? Maybe they don't even know what a bebop solo means, right? So there's a big hole there. And sometimes there's a theoretical hole as well. Like, I don't know, when I look at a jazz standard, I have zero clue how these individual chords make up a whole. Like, how do they create a chord progression? Like, what is the function of a, what is a 2-5-1 chord progression? I have no clue what that is, right? So Sometimes that is the problem that a beginner faces, is they don't know the theory. In some cases, they may, right? Like they may come from like a classical background or, you know, a more solid musical background. So they have a general understanding of that, but they may not even know that a 2-5-1 is an important chord progression in jazz, right? So it's all these little holes that need to be filled, but all that the beginner can really see is this huge task in front of them, right? This huge task that they really aren't sure exactly where to get started. Like they really want someone to tell them what the first step to do is, right? The other problem that they have is they're usually suffering from information overload, right? Because the stage that they're in is they're going to YouTube, right? And they're typing in search terms like how to improvise a jazz solo or how to learn a jazz standard or which jazz standards to learn, right? Whatever the question may happen to be, and they're getting a ton of results, right? So it could be they're finding, you know, this podcast, or they're finding, you know, tons of blog articles that are out there on Google, or they're finding YouTube videos, right? So all this information inundated, and there's everybody saying a lot of different things. And then sometimes when you go and you, let's say you're watching a YouTube video, you know, it doesn't quite meet them where they're at, right? There's some holes right there that they didn't know you had. And so therefore some of the content isn't making sense. So then that leads to confusion, and then you move to the next one, and it just becomes really overwhelming from an information overload standpoint. And this is something that I really see a lot of beginners struggle with. And a lot of people who come to our inner circle, that's something that they've really had a hard time with, right? Just trying to understand where to get started. And there's so much stuff going out there, information and ideas, right? So if you're a jazz beginner, like what are the things that you need to actually do to solve some of these problems? So let's just start with the overwhelm. So the overwhelm is a problem, but it can be solved if we just simplify the focus. So if you're new to jazz, right, the thing that I really want you to focus on is just figuring out how to learn one jazz standard. And we'll break that down in 1 second. And that's because learning jazz standards is by far the highest leverage activity you can do. And once you learn one jazz standard, it kind of starts snowball affecting. And even if you don't understand everything, it kind of multiplies as you keep going and you get better and better and understand things and more holes get filled. And so really just getting one step going. And so if you're a beginner and you're like, okay, so what jazz standard do I learn? I would highly recommend learning a blues. And just to put a name to one, you could learn one called Things Ain't What They Used to Be, right? And that's a B-flat blues, right? And what you could do really easily, simply, is go find a chord chart so that you know how to play a B-flat blues, right? You know what the chords are. Again, you're already a musician, so you know some basics, right? So you hopefully will understand what dominant seventh chords are. If you don't understand what dominant seventh chords are or how to play them, whether you're a piano, guitar, or even a horn player like saxophone or trumpet, then you want to go, and that's, again, the first hole that you need to fill right there. And that's not a bad thing. It just means we kind of reverse engineer everything. It's like, okay, we need to learn a jazz standard. Okay, we need to learn a jazz blues. Okay, we need to learn Things Ain't What They Used to Be. Okay, that simplifies everything. First problem that comes up, let's address it. The first problem, okay, don't know dominant seventh chords. How do we spell them, right? How do we play a B-flat seven chord, right? So then you'll figure out with some research, or you maybe have some theory books lying around, who knows, you'll go and you'll find that the answer to that individual problem, which is it's a root, third, fifth, and flat seven. So what are the notes, right? And you'll figure that out. And then at least that's opened something up until you know how to play all the chords, whether it's just playing the arpeggios if you're a horn player, or the actual voicings if you're a guitar or piano player, right? At the very least, that's how you get started, right? And then you go and you learn the melody, right? So the melody is, preferably, you're going to learn it by ear, right? And so then you go, how do you learn it by ear? Like, how do you learn a melody by ear? So then you go look up that solution to that problem. And by the way, if you are someone who wonders that as you're listening to this right now, then check out our free guide called Learn Jazz Standards the Smart Way. Go to learnjazzstandardsthesmartway.com, learnjazzstandardsthesmartway.com. And you'll also find a link to that in the show notes today. And that gives you a 5-step process That is, it's super easy to follow to help you start learning melodies of jazz standards by ear, right? So again, that's one problem you come across is how do you learn a melody? And perhaps you do go to a piece of sheet music and you download a piece of sheet music and you do that. I would recommend to just kind of dive in straight away and learn it by ear, because once you do that once, anytime I've had someone do this for the first time, it's one thing that we like kind of do when you join the inner circle is we have you learn a new jazz standard in 1 month. And so we immediately try to indoctrinate you into that. And so every single time people that haven't done this before, I hear back from them, they're like, whoa, I can't believe I did this for the first time, right? Just doing four bars at a time, it really, a light bulb goes off and it just gets easier and easier, right? So again, what we're doing is we're simply just problem solving for the problem of overwhelm, simplifying and just tackling one problem at a time, right? And as you keep going, you keep solving these problems and then there's less and less problems, right? Until perhaps you move to a more complicated song, right? And then you're going to find more problems, which is fine. Problems in music are not necessarily a bad thing. It just means that they're one step closer to improving. And then what happens is you start listening back to recordings of yourself, you know, months and months later, and you're like, oh, I can already tell that I got better, right? That's what happens as a jazz beginner, right? Okay, so the problem of the information overload, how do we address that? So again, this kind of goes back to just simply narrowing your focus of what you're actually going to start working on first. And then as the problems come up, pick one resource that you want to go to solve that problem, right? So for example, like, let's just say you want to, like, you could pick a medium first to start out with, right? You could say, I just want to focus on looking up articles on Google that I find of this, of these different problems. And probably that's a good way to go just because there's going to be a lot of results, a lot more problems that are being solved there than anywhere else. And secondary to that would be YouTube, because YouTube has a lot of stuff. Or you might just say, I learn better with video. So you might go to YouTube and that's your medium. And then you come up with a problem like, how do I play a dominant seventh chord? And you type that in and you look for the resource. And maybe in some cases you'll find one person where you notice they have a lot of answers to problems. And so then perhaps you'll go to them, right? And this is just to help train yourself to stay focused, right? What's the problem? Let's pick one resource, right? And okay, it's okay if like you're doing some research and then you find a podcast episode all about a process for learning jazz standards. Perhaps you Googled it and you found an episode that I did here on the podcast that makes sense for you, right? So that's fine. Just because I'm not trying to make a big rule where you only stick to one medium and one person. I'm not necessarily saying that. I just mean that we're trying to train ourselves to focus more on and just really solving a problem versus like going onto YouTube and then going down a rabbit hole of, okay, learning this jazz standard. Okay, ooh, here's the licks over top of this jazz standard. Oh, like, cool, what's altered ideas? I don't know what that is. Or what's melodic minor? What scales do I need to learn, right? So going into that rabbit hole all of a sudden is going to just create a world of problems, right? And with the Learning One Jazz Standard, you're going to have to, again, solve the problem of how do I improvise over top of this? So again, you're going to go out and look for one strategy for how to improvise over that B-flat blues. And it could just be what you already have available to you. A lot of people, for example, know how to play pentatonic scales over top of the blues. And that's fine. That's not our end point that we want to be as far as playing jazz really well. But that's fine. Like, you can start there and then just ask the question, like, how do I improve this, right? And so you might come across some information somewhere that talks about playing chord tones, right? Like focusing on chord tones. So then you'll go through and work out the chord tones over top of the blues, right? And then at some point, you just have to decide, hey, I learned this blues and I got some stuff out of it. Now let's move to the next jazz standard. That's what we really talk about and preach here on Learn Jazz Standards. It's what we do every month in our Inner Circle membership. We learn one new jazz standard because you don't want to get stuck in one place for too long. It's like, you're not going to master that jazz blues, right? You just got to keep moving, like give yourself the opportunity to learn something and solidify something, but then move on to the next thing, right? So that helps solve the problem of information overload. You're just narrowing your focus and practicing that. And again, what we're doing here is we're trying to improve quicker. You're not going to improve quicker if you're just jumping from topic to topic and going all over the place and, you know, watching every YouTube video there is about jazz. Like, you're learning a bunch of things that like only a small percentage of it is actually going to stick or that you're actually ready to learn. And so you really just want to focus on a problem-solving solution to playing better jazz, right? Okay, so that's the beginner jazz musician. The second kind of jazz musician is the intermediate jazz musician. And this is where we have a lot of beginners that come to us in our inner circle, but we have a very large number of intermediate jazz players inside of our community, right? And in perhaps listening to this podcast, we have a lot of intermediate players that are listening to the show, you know? So you might find yourself in this camp. And intermediate players, I would say, you know, they've been playing jazz for some period of time. You know, it could be 1 year. It could actually be 5 or even 10 years, right? It's a huge, like, zone of time that you could be in the intermediate phase, right? And we'll talk more about why that's a problem. But the intermediate phase is, you know, some jazz standards. You can get around improvising over some jazz standards, right? You might even know some tricks. You know a lot of conventional wisdom, like learning jazz solos, right? That's a good idea to learn more jazz language. Or you might know what some common jam session tunes are, and so you've been learning those and you know a bunch of them. So it can really range as an intermediate player. But the intermediate player definitely has some serious problems. In fact, their problems, in my opinion, are more frustrating and, I guess for lack of a better term, worse than the beginner jazz players, okay? And the first one is really just feeling like they aren't improving. Like, they basically feel stuck, right? They're not taking their solos to the next level, and they're not sure how to improve anymore, right? So maybe perhaps from their journey from beginner jazz player to intermediate jazz player, it's kind of exciting. It can get pretty exciting pretty quick, especially if you get over some of the initial frustrations, right? If you just kind of like get over a couple hills as the beginner, you actually start like progressing quite quickly up to the intermediate phase. And so at first, you felt really like you were moving and improving and unlocking things and aha moments and light bulbs going off and things are happening for you and you're improving. You can really see that happening almost in real time, right? And then all of a sudden you get to this intermediate phase and you sort of just start hitting this plateau, right? Because there's a big gap between the intermediate and the next level we're going to talk about, right? So feeling like you're stuck, right? Not able to move forward. In general, as a result of this, another problem the intermediate players have is they feel pretty unsatisfied with their playing, right? They don't like their solos very much. And that's because they, at this point, you know what really great jazz sounds like. Like, you've listened to lots of records and you're pretty indoctrinated into jazz. And, you know, you can hear the music that you want to play, but you're just not able to do it yet, right? And that could be for a variety of reasons. Could be technical deficiencies on your instrument. It could be just dots aren't connecting between what you're hearing in your head and the muscle memory on your instrument. Like, really, like, we could diagnose for like 5 more hours the different reasons why you're unsatisfied with your jazz playing, right? But a lot of intermediate players find themselves very unsatisfied with their jazz playing, and it can be very frustrating. And another big problem that intermediate players have is they start to hit a phase of lack of motivation, right? So because they start getting frustrated, because they're not really seeing the improvement happening so much, because they kind of hit this plateau, they feel very, very frustrated, which leads to demotivation. And losing motivation is the number one killer of long-term jazz progress and improving as a musician in general, right? So this is a dangerous place to be as an intermediate player. It's a very volatile phase, I would say, right? Not that there isn't volatility at every single level, but this one particularly, there's a lot of volatility. There's a lot of ways for things to go south. And like, that's why these are, when we're in our inner circle membership and we're in our community, like, we're very hyper aware of these people, and we're very hyper aware of, like, we've really learned how to teach and coach people over the years and how people learn better psychologically, because this is a very unstable phase, being an intermediate player, right? Which is, again, where the vast majority of people that, at least in our case, who come to us for help, this is where they find themselves in, right? So another kind of like sub problem here, and it really just depends on what your approach to learning jazz has been historically up to this point, but you might find yourself going into this frantic search for shiny object answers, right? So, okay, there's something I don't know that the great jazz musicians know. What is it, right? So learn all of my melodic minor scales and all 12 keys. That's like, I got to get really proficient at playing technique. Okay, let's transcribe like a million solos, right? Let's try to learn this new technique or this new Coltrane pattern, right? Because you're like, how do I get to the next level? And so you keep trying to find answers in specific areas. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. You're improving and you're growing that way, even if you don't see it. But unfortunately, that shiny object syndrome also leads to this like jumping from YouTube to YouTube video, and like the information overwhelm kind of comes back, you know, from the phase you were at in the beginner, it comes back in the intermediate phase too. It's just like, if I just consume more information and try more and more things, it's going to work, right? And ultimately, actually, some of the more simple things that you just do, rinse and repeat, like just learning a new jazz standard constantly, those are the things that are really going to improve your playing, right? But then also at the same time, like they totally forget about the fact that actually it's the practicing strategies that are more important than the what you practice. It's the practicing strategies, which I've talked at length on this podcast. Okay, so if you're an intermediate player, what are you going to do to break free of these things? So again, we mentioned one problem being that you feel stuck and that you feel like you're not improving. And so this is where the practice strategies come in. You got to really audit your playing and figure out what's going on, right? So obviously it's great to go for help, like go for help, get a jazz teacher, sign up for a membership or one that you feel is going to help you improve, not just one that has a ton of content on it, but one that like actually helps you get a step-by-step, you know, movement forward or actually accomplish something, right? That's important because not all courses and memberships are equal, right? You could just end up going on the content overload phase again, but get help. That's good. But you also want to be your own best teacher. And so that's where we talk a lot about auditing your own playing, right? So this is where you listen to a recording and you actually analyze it to figure out what is going on. Like, what do you actually need to improve on or double down on, right? I talked a lot about this in episode 402, The Art of Taking Bad Jazz Solos. That's an acronym, BAD. So that's another good resource to check out about auditing. But the basics of it is record yourself. Just do one take of the recording, right? So it's very honest. And then listen back to it and ask yourself two questions. First question is, what did I like and what did I not like, right? And so for each of those two questions, start writing out those things and get very granular. Like, I really like the way I play arpeggios or the way I use the range of my instrument here or that particular lick or line I played, right? And so the things that you really like, those are the things you want to double down on and mature even more. Like, I use the analogy of wine in the barrel, it just needs time to age kind of a situation. And then the things that you don't like, right? I wasn't playing the changes here. You want to get very granular about that. And then you go and you pick one of those things that you want to improve on. And again, we go back to the beginner phase where we're like, oh, okay, we find a problem and then we find one solution. We find one strategy to start applying over this, right? And then we work that solution, we work that strategy and for a while, and then we do it again. We record ourselves, we audit our playing, and we keep rinsing and repeating this process. Like, this is the best way to get off of a plateau and start improving quickly, is to really get serious about your practicing and really get serious about how you're going to move from one level to the next and really figuring out what those problem areas are, right? Because if you're not doing that, the likelihood is, again, you're jumping from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and you're just trying different things and you're not really improving a lot in any one of them. And then you get frustrated, right? So you really want to get good at doing that. And then, you know, again, the intermediate I talked about has problems with just being dissatisfied with their playing. And so this, again, once you start getting off of the plateau, then you're going to start being more excited about your playing, right? But there is some mindset stuff that also needs to happen at the intermediate phase. You have to realize that it's okay to be where you're at in your playing, right? And it's okay that this is a journey towards improving. You really do have to adopt a different mindset where you're not dominated by what you can't do, but you're more excited about where you're going. And so again, the auditing process and, you know, having help, again, having help can be really, like for me personally, whenever I invest in help, whether it be, you know, for my musicianship, for my business, for whatever, like I feel like encouraged and hopeful and excited, right? And so having those things can really help propel you forward and keep getting you excited. But ultimately, you do have to just accept the where you're at and you're playing, which can be hard to do, and just be okay with where you're at and adopt more of a mindset of like, hey, it's a cool thing that I found that there's a problem in my jazz playing, because now I get to work on one solution to try to improve that, right? So this is the intermediate phase, and it is one that you can be on for a while. And again, you got to be okay with that, but you also don't want to stay there forever, because we want to avoid, like the plague, demotivation and frustration, right? We want to have you having as much fun as possible and feel like we're improving as much as possible, that you start moving forward. And one concept that we kind of focus a little bit on in our Inner Circle membership, not a little bit, a lot of it actually, is quick wins, right? And so again, this is psychology. When you're able to learn just a small part of a solo, or really like the premise of we learn one jazz standard a month in our Inner Circle membership. The reason we do that, well, there's a lot of reasons we do that, but one of the reasons we do it is, psychologically speaking, when you feel like you've accomplished just one thing, even if it's just the most basic level, like I learned the melody and I learned the chords and nothing else, like you do feel like you've improved, or you just learned part of a solo over top of a jazz standard that you already know, or something like that. Like you do feel like you're winning and improving. And that's really the feeling that we want to be getting and we need to get in order to continue, is just feel like, even though you have a busy life, even though you have a lot going on, even though you do have challenges in your musicianship, that you've done one thing or two things that have moved the needle in some sort of way, right? So you want to focus on that for yourself, is what kind of quick wins can you give yourself so that you do feel like you are making micro progressions towards a greater goal, right? That's really important as an intermediate player. Okay, moving on to the third type of jazz musician, and you probably have guessed it by now, and the third type of jazz musician is the advanced jazz musician. The advanced jazz musician. And this is the one where all of us want to be at. So the beginner and the intermediate, this is really where you want to be. So the advanced jazz musician is fairly experienced with playing jazz, right? Like they know plenty of tunes. They can improvise over plenty of tunes. And not only can they improvise over plenty of tunes, they actually like their jazz solos, right? They listen to their jazz solos and they play their jazz solos. And for the most part, they like them. Like they think they're actually pretty good. And while you'll never be 100% satisfied, right, they are okay with the way they sound. Basically, there's a confidence in them that the beginner or the intermediate don't always have. Like they go to a jam session and they're not worried about it, right? Some people are scared to go to public jam sessions because that can be a scary, vulnerable thing. Well, the advanced jazz musician usually isn't. Like not that there's, like they've destroyed the nerves forever, like not necessarily saying that, but like they have this confidence about them where they're not necessarily afraid to play with other jazz musicians because they know they'll sound good, right? And not only do they like their solos and their playing, other people like it too. Like other musicians are like, whoa man, you're pretty good, right? Hey, can you tell me how to do this? Like the intermediate players are going to the advanced players and going like, hey, how do you do that? Like, hey, how did you get to where you're at right now? Like they want to know, what are the secrets, right? Like, what did you do? And then you get the opportunity to tell them what you did to get to where you're at, which is kind of cool, right? And so in general, like it's a good feeling to not only like what you're doing, but get that validation from other people. Like, hey, I'm a good musician. Hey, I play pretty good. You know, Even if you're just someone who just does jazz for fun, like which is most people listening to this podcast, like it's not a career intention, it can be cool if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I got this gig. Do you want to be on the gig? And they're asking you because, hey, you're pretty good, right? They heard you play and they're like, this guy's pretty good. I want to play with this person. So that's a really good feeling. And every time that's happened to me, it's like, wow, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool that someone wants to play with me, or they like my playing enough, or they are impressed with my playing enough that they want me to play on their gig, right? So that's really the feeling that you get. You get this feeling of confidence, and you're playing great solos, and you're comping well, or you're playing good bass lines. And again, you just feel light. Like the intermediate player and sometimes, and the beginner player too, can sometimes just feel like this heaviness about learning music, where it's like, ah, we're not there yet. And the advanced player feels better about all that, right? So it's kind of the mindset that we want to be, right? Eventually, because like that's really we're going to have the funnest. And again, at the intermediate phase, we have to try to work on developing that mindset there. But when you have the actual ability that you're satisfied with to some degree under your belt, then it's easier, right? And the advanced player just is trying to level up a little bit, right? The advanced player is like, because the journey's never over. Like you're always trying to improve as a musician. It just doesn't end. So the advanced player is just, again, like continuing what they're already doing. They're continuing to practice certain things that they know work for them. And by the way, they've kind of discovered what those are, which is the secret sauce, figuring out what works for you specifically. And they're just continuing to do that. And they're continuing just to play, because the advanced player knows that like just playing a lot is one of the most important things to improving as a jazz player. So advanced player, this is where we want to be at, my friends. We want to be at the advanced level. And so I'm not sure like how many of you listening right now feel like that's possible for you. And depending on who you are, you might give me a different answer. But I do know that there are quite a few of you listening right now that perhaps have some doubt, right? You have some doubt that you can get to an advanced level. And let's also remember too that like when I'm saying advanced level, intermediate, beginner level, like there's not like a certain like level of ability perhaps that we're talking about here. Like, for example, like if you're an advanced player, you can be an advanced player. I would consider myself an advanced player, right? But I wouldn't consider myself as good as like Sonny Rollins, right? Or Bill Evans, or like that. Like there's a huge spectrum of what advanced player means, right? It could mean like, hey, you could play at a professional level if you wanted to, or hey, like you're just happy with your playing and other musicians like you're playing too, right? Like that's like the most basic level. And then there's like world class, right? So it's a huge spectrum. So again, like the journey's never over. So it's not like, you know, you might think to yourself, well, I'll never be advanced because you have this idea of what advanced in your head is, which is a lot bigger than it really should be. Like advanced is what I already described to you, right? So what I truly do believe is that for the vast majority of musicians, it is possible to get to the advanced level. If, again, you're focusing on some of the things I talked about today in this episode, which are backed up and proven by not only my own personal experience, my colleagues' personal experience, but also the experience of lots of other musicians who I've had the opportunity to work with, that I've seen this progression happen, right? It's not an overnight thing by any means, but you see the ball actually rolling, right? Rather than just staying in one place. And so I do believe this is possible for a lot of people, that you can get to the advanced stage, right? And I believe you can get there even if you're not having a lot of time to practice, which is a lot of people listening to the show too. It's like, well, you have a lot of other things going on in your life. You might not have exponential amounts of time to practice. And sometimes a lot of practice can get you there faster, but also sometimes it won't, because it's just bad practice, right? So you can actually get a lot of places with even less practice when you, again, you focus on auditing your playing, when you focus on singularity of focus, right? When you know, try not to get information overload, when you work on one strategy at a time, like when you work on learning new jazz standards, that's the highest leverage activity you can do. So if you implement those things, even with less practice, you can get there faster than you might think, right? So the most important thing, of course, is to have fun during the process of it. But what I would encourage you to do is figure out what level you feel like you're at right now. And the vast majority of you listening will say you're at the beginner or the intermediate level, right? And then ask yourself the question, of everything I said today, what's the one thing that you want to do to start progressing up to the next level, from beginner to intermediate, from intermediate to advanced? All right, that's all for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Do appreciate you. Make sure, of course, to take action, because action is the most important thing that you can do. And if you need help taking action and you need that, just some extra assistance to make things feel easier for you along the way, then definitely check out our Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle membership. We have a lot of fun in there. Lots and lots and lots of other musicians playing all sorts of instruments are improving every single month in our Inner Circle membership, making meaningful strides. And so I would love to help you with that. And yeah, definitely check it out. So you can go to ljsinnercircle.com or take a look at the show notes in your podcast player or on the website. And we'll have a link there for you to check it out, and hope to see you inside. Until next time, happy practicing. We'll see you with another great episode of the podcast coming up next week. And cheers.
Thanks for listening to the LJS Podcast, brought to you by LearnJazzStandards.com. Subscribe to the series on iTunes, and don't forget to join our jazz community at LearnJazzStandards.com/newsletter.
Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.